I've spent the last 30 years of my life researching how to live a healthy and successful one. It is my personal goal to live to 100, and that is now achievable. In the last episode, I shared 10 tips on how to live to 100, but regardless of how long you want to live, the 11 tips that I'm going to share with you today will help you live a healthy, long life filled with energy, excitement, and purpose, and one where people get to witness the best of you. I'm Sam McCool, and welcome to A Higher Branch. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of A Higher Branch. If you are new to our channel, please hit that subscribe button because I don't want you to miss any future episodes that we have coming up. And I have some very exciting ones coming up for 2024. I'm completely energized and well-researched, and I have a lot of guests coming up. So today we're going to continue our journey where I share with you the 21 tips on how to live to 100. Now, a few people said to me, well, Sam, it's not my goal to live to 100, but it's my goal to live a quality life. And I guess these episodes is about living a quality one. So it's not just about hitting a number. And I totally get it. The years in your life is not as important as the life in your years. So these tips that I'm giving you are going to put the life in your year. So whether you live to 80, 90, 100, 110, it's going to be a memorable life. So, and these tips, I promise you, I've researched over many years. Now, I'm not a full-time researcher, but I have been an avid researcher because I'm obsessed with human potential. Not just my potential, but the potential of the people around me. I started off sharing my tips, you know, with my closest friends, with my family, with my colleagues. And from there, I then kicked off the podcast because I wanted to share it. These tips with more and more people. So thank you for putting your trust and confidence in this podcast and for inspiring me to continue to deliver these episodes. Anyway, let's kick off today's episode with the 11 tips. And I'm going to give you a 12th tip as well, which is going to be a little bit controversial, but it's an important one and one that I thought of recently after speaking to a close friend of mine who's a cardiologist. Anyway, today's 11th tip is that you need to move your body functionally. In other words, naturally. You know, we call it exercising, but there is a strong research, and not only research for longevity, but even research for depression, showing that aerobic exercise and strength exercise is more powerful than Prozac for people with depression, which is really incredible when you think about it. And I've often asked doctor friends of mine, why don't you prescribe lifestyle tips for your patients? And they look at me dead in the eye and they say, Sam, it's because if I did that, no one would ever come to my clinic. What they mean is that people won't comply. Compliance is a big issue, which is why the medical profession resorts to prescribing pills. But exercise is absolutely the common factor amongst all centenarians in all of the blue zones in the world. And this is different to exercising in a mechanical way. I'm not talking about expensive equipment and gyms. You know, centenarians don't go to gyms. They walk, they swim, they run sometimes, they garden. They all move their body in natural ways. You know, squatting while doing gardening, for example, is natural. Bending to clean your home is natural. There are lots of bodyweight exercises also favored by a lot of researchers that includes push-ups, pull-ups, chin-ups, squats, and core activation exercises like the plank. But the biggest one that they said was most critical to longevity is walking, because when you are walking, you're not just engaging the muscles, you're actually putting pressure on the bones. You're letting gravity improve your bone mineral density. And as you get older, that's going to become critical. When you're walking, you're also engaging your core. You're moving your arms. And walking long distances, like a minimum of an hour a day or so, is what a lot of centenarians in these five blue zones did. And I want to add one proviso. Don't get carried away with exercise either, because injuries will also set you back with your longevity. And there's a lot of research which shows that if you overexert yourself, it's a upside down U curve. So sometimes if you exercise too much and not recover enough, it actually reduces your longevity. Now, if you want to dive deeper into exercise and what experts say, have a look at Dr. Peter Attia's work and his book called Outlive, The Science and the Art of Longevity. He goes specifically into what exercises are most effective. Anyway, for purposes of this podcast, I just want you to know that functional movements and doing exercise that's functional for you is going to help you live a long life. Now, let's move to tip number 12, and that is drinking filtered or spring water. One of the best investments you can make for your inner health is the installation of a water filter. And most people have that as well, but one that also adds minerals. The problem with our drinking water is that there's a lot of harmful chemicals and bacteria. So filtered water is the second best thing you can drink. The first best is actually spring water. But you know what? If you filter the water and you add a sprinkle of Celtic sea salt and a squeeze of lemon and stay hydrated throughout the day, then that will improve your chances of living to 100, because water is really the second most important nutrient we take into our body. Remember, we have four nutrients. There's food, there's water, there's air, and there's sunshine. So water is absolutely essential, because 70% of our body makeup is water. So drinking the right water, like spring water or filtered water, is critical to living until 100. And incidentally, with spring water, make sure you drink as much as you can from glass bottles and not plastic bottles, because plastic bottles is wreaking havoc with our endocrine system, with BPAs and what have you, but that's a topic for another episode. And I will be having an expert on the podcast talking about that in future. Let's move on to tip number 13, and that is to never eat when you are stressed or upset. I think the state of mind in which you eat, how much you eat, and when you eat is much more important than what you eat. And you notice I haven't given you any tips on what to eat apart from saying that you should eat according to your genetic heritage, because I think it's more important how you eat. So when you eat in a stressed state and you have trouble digesting the food, the thing is, you're not going to absorb the nutrients from your food if you eat stressed, because they call it rest and digest for a reason. Even if you're eating the healthiest meal possible on the planet, organic, fresh, freshly picked, if you're eating it in a stressed state, your body cannot absorb the nutrients correctly. The same food can become a poison when you are stressed. So my simple tip is to go for a long walk before you eat, especially after work, because that neutralizes a lot of the stress. Now, if you have chronic stress, my second tip is that have small meals throughout the days, or better still, have liquid meals. Like during those periods, I have smoothies, soups, and vegetable juices, because I know my body can absorb those a lot easier. For those evening meals, especially the dinner meal, resist the temptation to have heated discussions and arguments, because it's going to be bad for your gut health. It's going to be bad for your absorption of the food. So never eat when you're stressed or upset. And that's my tip number 13. It's actually better not to eat at all if you can't get back into a relaxed state. Anyway, let's move on to tip number 14, and that is to keep your bowels clean. A lot of research shows that a healthy colon is essential for long life. This is related to the last tip, because when you eat in a stressed state, the body has trouble digesting the foods, and it sits in your stomach, ferments, and it turns toxic. But much of this is easily preventable. There are really two easy lifestyle tips to follow here. First is to consume lots of fruit and vegetables. Why? Because they have a lot of fiber and they make you eliminate easily. And if you're still unable to cleanse, I would recommend prune juice or even taking berberine supplement. Second, you need to schedule your number two toilet breaks as part of your morning and nightly routine. The healthiest colon is one that eliminates at least once a day, but preferably twice a day. That's right, twice a day. And I say you need to schedule it, because a lot of people are just, they get too busy and they wait for that urge to go to the toilet instead of actually scheduling the urge. So I believe you need to schedule it, just like you schedule meetings or schedule intimacy with your partner. You need to schedule these toilet breaks. It's absolutely essential that your colon remains clean. It boosts your energy and enhances your immune system. And that's why it's tip number 14 on how to live to 100. A clean colon leads to a clean gut, better absorption, and from there, higher energy. And there's a cascade of benefits that go from that. And it's a tip that is often forgotten. You know, a lot of these tips that I'm giving you, they work together. And the more you adopt these lifestyle tips, the better it is for you. Because sometimes you can adopt 20 of those tips and forget just one, like this one. And you don't have a healthy colon. You think, why am I still having energy dips? Why is my immune system causing me a problem? And it comes down to that simple tip. So all these tips are compounding. And together, if you actually adopt all of them, I promise you, you will experience an energy explosion in your life. Okay, let's move on to tip number 15, and that is to brush your teeth, your gums, and your tongue religiously, but at least twice a day. So we're talking about good oral hygiene, because there is a link between gum disease, heart disease, and stroke, and even Alzheimer's. And there's a lot of research on this where they figured out that poor periodontal health can cause harmful bacteria called, I'll try and pronounce this, Porphyromonas gingivalis, which causes inflammation and infection in the gums, which then travels to the arteries. And this also explains why people with normal cholesterol levels are also having heart attacks. And in fact, 50% of people that have heart attacks have normal cholesterol levels. So it's obviously caused by an inflammation. And so researchers have found out that the inflammation is caused by that bacteria. So you need to floss twice a day, but preferably after every meal. You need to brush your gums and your tongue. That's absolutely critical. Good oral hygiene is critical to long life, because if you lose your teeth in older age, you're not going to make it to 100, because you're not going to be able to chew your food properly. And that's going to cause a cascade of issues with your gut, your absorption. It's going to reduce the density of the bones in your jaw and your face. So remember how you look on your face, like wrinkles and saggy skin, is caused by the bone that's underneath it. Strong facial bones will lead to a strong epidermis and dermis, and will reduce the wrinkles and reduce that sagginess. So good oral hygiene is one of those things that people miss when it comes to living to 100. You know, that show on Netflix that has become popular about longevity, they cover three or four things. And what I'm giving you is a more extensive list. It's a comprehensive list. And good oral hygiene has to be on that list. Okay, anyway, let's move on to the next tip. You need to do your pelvic floor exercises. Now, this is also known as Kegel exercises that they usually give women that are planning to be pregnant or are pregnant to help them during childbirth. But the research shows it also assists in preventing prostate cancer in men. Most importantly, it avoids incontinence in both men and women, which is listed as the single most demoralizing ailment for old people in nursing homes. And that has a depressing effect on people's emotional makeup. And from there, once your emotions are going in the wrong direction, then really, no matter what else you do in life, how healthy you eat, your longevity is going to be impacted in a profound way. So pelvic floor is really important. Again, that's why it's in my 21 tips to live to 100, because it's a critical one. So let's move on to the next tip, which is tip number 17, and that is to listen carefully to your body. Now, whilst you may not experience obvious signs of intolerance to food and situations because you're so distracted, it may be affecting you in a subtle way that undermines your health and your energy. Now, this tip is quite subtle, but really important because often we are too distracted in life to really notice what is going on in our body. And we are loading our body with either toxins or stresses. They're like body blows we take, and we don't really notice what's going on. And it may be alcohol, it may be coffee, it may be the food we eat, it may be gluten, it may be the dairy, it may be noise pollution, it may be people's surroundings, right? Now, I know a lot of doctors say, well, that's okay, the body can deal with it. It's called hormesis, where the body adapts. You know, we need a little bit of hormesis, a little bit of stress on our bodies. But often, I see a lot of people walking around copping these daily body blows, eating the wrong things, hanging out with the wrong people, putting up with noise or air pollution. And over time, that impacts their health in a subtle way. And over the many days, weeks, months, and years, it is actually reducing your health span and your lifespan. So that's why I always tell you to meditate and why meditation is one of the three important morning and nightly rituals, because it helps you be self-aware. With self-awareness, you will recognize the things that are toxic for your body. Which leads me now to tip number 18, and that is you need to meditate right now. Don't put this off. Don't miss this tip. Oh, here's another person talking about meditation. I know meditation is difficult, which is why I do it, because I go out of my way to do the tough stuff because I know it's good for me. Most people don't meditate because they think it's really complex and they find it tough. And the truth is, sitting quietly in a warm and comfortable spot can be meditation. Just daydreaming is meditation. Meditation can be as simple as putting your hand on your stomach or noticing the breath that's coming in and out of your nose, just gently, or the rising and fall of your stomach. And you just focus on that. And every time your mind wanders, you just bring your attention back to the breath. That's it. That is meditation. Listening to the sounds of nature can be meditation. Sitting at a beach when there's not many people around. Having a warm bath is meditation. Or going for a long walk in nature when there's nobody around. That's meditation. Anything where you block out distraction and anything that shuts down the monkey mind, where you can just switch off and have this self-awareness. Even your peripheral vision improves when you come out of meditation. I don't know if those of you who meditate, if you notice after you come out of meditation, you feel like that the sky has expanded because your vision has expanded. So when you are in distraction mode, you are constricting your spirit and your energy, and you literally have tunnel vision. And your creativity and the ability to think outside the box disappears, and you become less effective at work. Now, when I go for long walks in nature, around the 45-minute mark is when I notice the breath of my body. I start to notice parts of my body that are feeling energetic or parts that are feeling a little bit tight. So it's absolutely incredible, and that's why it's tip number 18. And yes, it is tough, but hey, the best things in life are the tough things. The tougher you make life, the easier life will get. So let's move on to tip number 19, and that is to give yourself to charity. I want to ask you this question. Why do multimillionaire celebrities go out of their way? They go to Africa or Syria. I'm thinking of Angelina Jolie here, and put their time and energy into helping others. Why? Because when you have all the money in the world, you realize that giving to others is the single most important way we connect with people. It's about connection. So giving yourself to charity, and I'm not just talking about giving money here. It's about giving your time, your energy. Even just sitting and listening to someone who needs to be listened to is charity. Helping your family around the house is charity. Helping the new person at work to learn the system, or going out to lunch with them and showing them where to get their where to eat is a form of contribution. So what I'm really saying here is just use every opportunity to help others in your circle, whether it's your family, your friends, your work colleagues, your clients. You know, whenever I'm helping a client, sure, I'm getting paid for it, but for me, it's part of giving. It's giving myself my time and energy. So I do it with love and I do it with respect for my client's objectives. That is giving yourself to charity. And the research overwhelmingly shows that people who help other people live a long life, because I believe we value ourselves in equal proportion to the value we add to others. Helping others is what makes us happy, and happiness boosts our longevity. Let's move on to tip number 20, and that is you need to fast regularly. Now, when I say fast, I don't mean just fasting from food. I mean fasting from your favorite things. But let's start with food. There are some people that do an 18-hour fast every day. There's some people that do a fast one day a week where they actually don't eat anything in a 24-hour period. I want to give you the proviso that we all have different metabolic types. So you need to fast according to your metabolic type. So you could be thin, for example, or you could be on the heavy side. Different body types need different types of fasting. I can do the 12 to 14 hour fast. Friends of mine who are a little bit more stockier and stronger and built differently can do 2 days of fasting. The other thing you can do is just don't eat until you are hungry, but not hungry to the point where you're stressed. You've got to listen to your body, and relates back to my earlier tip on, you know, having that self-awareness. The main thing is not to eat for the sake of eating. You need to only eat when you're hungry. And research shows that this habit helps your body cleanse itself. It improves your function of all your organs, reduces insulin resistance, cleans your arteries in your heart and in your brain. And that prevents arterial sclerosis and dementia and Alzheimer's. Now, this is absolutely proven by science. And there's one thing that all medical practitioners agree on, and that is fasting regularly is the only thing that helps you live longer. Because when you fast, you give your organs a break, your liver, your kidneys, your lungs. And when they're not always working, they actually then have time for repair and rejuvenation. And that's life extending. Now, earlier I mentioned also fasting from the things that you love. That's also important from not just an emotional perspective. And it's important to fast from the things you love because you can then walk around with a sense of gratitude for those things when you do have them. Because when there's an overindulgence in the things you love, you will lose interest in them. And you will then, in a subtle way, lose interest in life. And when you approach life with that loss of interest, that's a decline in living. And I made that point very well in part one of this episode on how to live to 100. That was in last episode. So go back and listen to that episode. It's actually an incredible phenomena if you do the research on this. And that's why I always approach everything with a beginner's mind and a curiosity for things. Because the moment you lose your curiosity in old age, that is a signal from the brain to the cells of the body that, hey, we're stagnating here, we're getting old. And that's why fasting from the things you love is critical to maintaining that beginner's mind and that curiosity and that appreciation for the beautiful things in your life. You need to take a break from the people that you love, from the friends that give you joy, from the job that you love, from the foods that you love, and that'll help you build your appreciation of it. Anyway, let's move on to tip number 21. We're getting to the good stuff here, and that is to learn a new language or a musical instrument. If you thought meditation was tough, now this is really tougher. But the research overwhelmingly shows that it's the most powerful way to promote neuroplasticity as you age. And therefore, they figured out that it actually helps to prevent dementia or neurodegenerative diseases, which are among the top four leading causes of death. The top four being heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and the last one's neurodegenerative diseases. And the University of Edinburgh has found that learning a second language can influence your cognitive performance. And this is kind of tied into my earlier tip on novelty, but this is subtly different. This is learning something new. And that's why I've met people in their late 50s and 60s that go back to university and study, or they learn a new language. I recently met someone who's 75 who's now learned up to 5 languages. The other thing you can learn is a musical instrument. Again, this is proven to help increase cognitive strength and reduce cognitive decline in older adults. And as I said, I know it's hard, but if you want to get to 100 and if you want to get to whatever age you're seeking to get to with a sharp mind, then this is one of them. Trust me, it's worth it. And I'm currently learning a new language and I'm trying to learn a musical instrument, and it is damn hard, but I can tell you my brain's been stretched. So that is my 21st and final tip, but I do have one final bonus tip, and I've left it out of the 21 tips to make the point, because it's a little bit more mainstream than what people talk about on podcasts. And it's not very sexy, but it is absolutely important and one that you cannot ignore. And that last tip is you need to leverage and use the medical profession. You need to leverage the expertise and the science that we now have at our fingertips that will help you. Now, there are some wonder drugs out there that make diseases like heart disease or diabetes completely preventable and curable, especially heart disease. No one should be dying of heart disease because it's something that can be completely wiped out in humanity because of the drugs that are out there. Now, I know a lot of people that are anti-drugs to their detriment, and then they get to the point where they go, damn, herbal supplements and vitamins and lifestyle is just not helping me, and it's too late because now I do have heart disease that's almost irreversible, or the diabetes that I have is now damaging my body, it's damaged my organs. And that's sad because these drugs are accessible, and let me tell you the side effects that some of them have. Now, of course, make sure you seek, you know, your individual medical attention from your own doctor, because what I'm giving you is general in nature. So you have to seek your own help. But I firmly believe that the medical profession is there and it needs to be leveraged. And even if there are some minor side effects, sometimes those minor side effects will pale into insignificance compared to the impact a disease can have on your body. You know, there's some incredibly smart people that study for many years and do a lot of research to help save lives, and to help prolong your life. But I know there's also contrarians out there that say, yeah, well, these drugs may, you know, help you live longer, but it's not good quality of life. So my tip to you is you need to live by ancient wisdom, but also leverage modern science. So that's my last tip. I urge you to go and get a complete physical from a doctor. I don't mean just a routine blood test. A complete physical takes many hours, and there's a lot of new centers now that are doing a deeper dive into your health and giving you highly specific and prescribed medicines that are doing incredible things. There's tests on your genetic makeup, tests that determine what foods you have that disagree with you. There's so many tests out there. I won't go through them. I touched on them in previous episodes with Dr. Scott Wustenberg, who featured in 7 episodes that we did in 2022. And, you know, I think it's going to be an incredible world where we can leverage all this new medical science to help us live longer and healthier. So please don't dismiss that. See a doctor. Do the research yourself, but don't just rely on lifestyle tips and don't just rely on herbal supplements. Yes, naturopaths have a place in society, but don't dismiss the medical profession. I think it's a very dangerous thing to do. Anyway, I think I have made my point on that last tip. I'm very passionate about it because I've seen people leave things till the last minute because they try and self-medicate. They try and rely on Dr. Google and supplements and herbal tinctures, and you need to use both. Anyway, on that point, thank you for listening to this two-part series on how to live till 100. I hope I've given you enough information to help you start a new journey in your life. Even one tip sometimes can change the trajectory of our life. And if you know someone that should listen to this episode and the previous episode, please share it with them and pay it forward, because I really believe that when we put good things out into the world and help others live a better life, that good things come back to us. It's called karma, right? Anyway, on that point, I want to leave you with the reminder that no matter what's happened in the past, it's over. Every morning is the dawn of a new day and your opportunity to hit the reset button and start new things, new techniques, new tips, new habits. On that note, I hope you have a great day, and as always, live consciously, my friends. We'll